The question today is, when and where was Jacob saved? Now, we won't have any trouble answering this question if we line up our thinking with the Bible and what it states concerning real salvation. Now, our biggest problem is in this Laodicean church age in which we live, we have a tendency to twist the Bible to line it up with our traditional thinking instead of us lining up with the Bible. Now, that's not wise to do that, but that's what's happening in the day in which we live. Now, many say Jacob was saved in Genesis chapter 28 when he had an encounter with God through a dream. Of course, he was running from Esau, had to leave because he'd stole the birthright, stole the blessing in a sense, and as a result, he had to leave because Esau vowed to kill Jacob when he saw him. And so he ran, and one night he laid his head upon his pillow of stone there, and he had a dream. And angels descending and ascending there in that place. And when he awoke, in Genesis 28:16, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Well, it's true that God made a promise to him in Genesis chapter 28, verse number 13 and 15, where he said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." So Jacob made a vow. God spoke to him, and then Jacob made a vow in verses 20 and 22 through 22 of chapter 28. He said, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." And of course, this is a place called Bethel, where he made this vow. Now, you may ask, "Well, that sounds good to me. That sounds like he was saved to me." But let me ask you some questions to see if this experience that Jacob had lines up with what the Bible has to say concerning real salvation. First of all, let me ask you a question. Does one get saved by making a bargaining with the Lord? And you notice that Jacob said, "If God will be with me," and so forth, "then shall the Lord be my God." Now, does the Lord save man on his terms or on your terms? I will tell you, salvation's of the Lord, and he will never save anyone on their terms. One must come to the end of himself and make a wholehearted surrender to Jesus as Lord before he will save that individual. No one can do that himself. It takes a work of Holy Ghost conviction to reprove, convict, and convince, in other words, a man of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. It must be complete in all three areas. That's John 16, 8 through 11. So we see a New Testament principle or example of this in John 6, when a multitude of people were following Jesus, desiring to make him king. They would gladly made a bargain with Jesus, similar to what Jacob did in Genesis, but Jesus placed upon them the demand of wholehearted reception of himself as their Lord in John chapter 6, verse 53, when he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." That means a wholehearted reception of Jesus as Lord. And they were not willing to make such a commitment. They said it's too hard for them in verse number 60 of John 6, and turned away from him and walked no more with him in verse 66, says John chapter 6. Now, our Lord did not save them on their terms, and neither did he save Jacob on his terms in Genesis chapter 28. So the second thing, does this line up with the Bible? The second thing, let me ask you a question. Did Jacob's life change after Genesis 28? The Bible says a man's life changes. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And Jesus also told the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 25 and 26, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." there will be a change in one's life when a person is saved. Excuse me. Now, we do not see a change in Jacob's life after Genesis 28. He's still the same old conniver and deceiver that he was before, just as his name implies. In other words, the name Jacob means a surplanter, which implies being a conniver and a deceiver. Esau said this about him in Genesis 27:36. He said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. In other words, he's Jacob, still Jacob. And therefore we conclude Jacob was not saved in Genesis 28 because his life was not changed after Genesis 28. Now, many object by saying, but he had an encounter with God. Now, there are many others in the Bible who had an encounter with God and were not saved. Samuel's an example in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 14 through 4 through chapter 3, 4 through 14, where verse 7 states plainly, after God spoke to him, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Another was the rich young ruler in Mark 10. He met the Lord Jesus and went away saddened after he talked to him, and Jesus put demands on him. Yet again, there's the multitude in John 6 we talked about, and we've already discussed that. Now, I could give you more examples, but if you'll not believe these mentioned, you would not believe some of the others, so I won't do that. Now, tradition denies the Lord showing anything to a lost person, yet the Scripture declares plainly in Psalms 25:8 that the Lord will teach sinners in the way. That plainly teaches that He'll teach a lost person as he travels the narrow way to the straight gate. Now, theologically, the Bible always refers to a lost man as sinner and believers as being saint because they've had the sanctifying work of the Spirit done in their life. Now, the Lord always has an encounter with a lost in some form or fashion before they're saved. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse number 45 and 44, really, it says, if no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. The word, it's not enough to hear. You've got to learn, which means to understand. And it says, he hath learned and understood of the Father cometh to me. Cometh is a continuous action verb, which means along the path of understanding that leads to the straight gate. So therefore, a person will be in that condition. In other words, he'll have an encounter with a lost. God will have an encounter with a lost in some form or fashion before he's saved. And now, if the Lord didn't reveal himself to a person, how could he ever believe that God exists and seek him? The Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, in other words, one who's begun a path along the path of understanding, must first believe that he is, that God exists, in other words, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's got to be an encounter with God. Jacob had that, but yet he wasn't saved. His life was not changed. He was not saved in Genesis 28. Now, those who want to hold on to Genesis 28 for Jacob's experience is because they've got sin in their life and they want to make it look like that they're saved as well. They want something. They twist the Scripture to fit their need. But now, since Jacob did not get saved in Genesis 28, where did Jacob get saved? Where was he saved? He was saved in Genesis 32. We see him coming to the end of himself and relying totally upon the Lord. And that occurred 20 years after Genesis 28, when he was returning from Laban's house with his wives and children. And he's about 90-something year old, by the way, at that time, where he was about to meet Esau, who had vowed to kill Jacob the next time he saw him. So Jacob divides the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands and sends them out ahead with a distance between each one to meet Esau. Now, the first time that Jacob prays is when he gets alone with God. The Bible talks about that in the book of Genesis. He brings it to the fact in Genesis chapter 32. He brings out that he prays, and for the first time, he said this in verse 9 through 12. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I'll deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all mercies and of all truth, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am come in, I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother of the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. We see him as he's praying. You see, he's praying unto the God of his father, but he never mentions him as being his God. So when he's left alone, God begins to deal with him, and he wrestles with him in the form of a man. In other words, as he wrestled with Jacob, the reason he did that is because Jacob still wanted things his way. Jacob was trying to get loose from God. He was trying to get God to leave him alone. And that's just the way that every person does when the Holy Spirit begins to bring man to the end of himself. Now, I believe Jacob had a backup plan to appease Esau in other words, if the plan didn't do it, didn't work out, he had a backup plan. I can't prove it by the Bible, but I believe he thought if all else fails, he would outrun Esau to spare his life. And at some point in wrestling, the time when God wrestled with Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, the strength of his leg, in other words. And then Jacob took hold of God. In other words, Jacob's backup plan had failed at that time because he knew he couldn't outrun Esau any longer. And at that point, God said in Genesis 32:26, let me go. Jacob's got hold of God. But Jacob, knowing all hope in self was gone now, he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. In essence, he was saying, there is no one else to turn to. You're all the hope I have. I don't want to bargain any longer. I just need you. And of course, God asked him, what's your name? And he had to confess, he's Jacob, surplanter. And God changed his name to Israel, which means the Prince of God or the Prince with God. And therefore, Jacob was saved at that point in Genesis 32 when God changed his name because it represents the changed individual. Now, that occurred 20 years after his first encounter with God at the place he named Peniel, which means the face of God. You can read that story in Genesis 32, verses 24 through 30. But after Genesis 32, we see Jacob, a changed man. He shows compassion for those who were before he would have been willing to sacrifice for his own hide in Genesis 33, verse 12 through 14. He built his first altar, the first one recorded, at Shechem in Genesis 33, verse 18 through 20. He had his family put away their idols, a sure sign of a changed life and a new creature in Christ. That is in Genesis 35, verse number 2. Therefore, we conclude that Jacob was saved at Peniel in Genesis 32, 20 years after his first encounter with God at Bethel in Genesis 28. This may not be acceptable to traditional thinking, but it lines up with the Bible and in its teaching concerning real salvation. So I think I'll just stay with the Bible, God's holy word, instead of man's traditional thinking. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.